As Jesus commenced his public ministry, he read from the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue in Nazareth. It's recorded for us in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. Jesus is the breaker. He's in the business of setting captives free. He rules over everything, seen and unseen. Jesus the breaker. He has all authority to break us out from under the rule of those kingdoms that seek to enslave and damage us. This concept of breaking out and bringing things into fullness is a thread that runs all the way through Scripture. So let's learn a very important little Hebrew word, parats, parats, P-A-R-A-T-S. Parats has to do with breaking out of a prison-like structure. It implies growing or increasing in any area or passing through an opening that's been previously shut. So think about the spiritual and natural realms. They are interdependent. That means that we can expect that when something breaks through in the unseen spiritual realm, it will manifest in our physical world as well, in a way that we can sense. It's a wonderful insight by Barbara Yoder in her book, The Breaker Anointing, How God Breaks Open the Way to Victory. So grab the concept. Something or someone in a state of restriction is broken free and comes into a new sphere of increase and vitality. So think of Genesis 1. God spoke increase to our first parents. Now that meant more than descendants. It was every aspect of life. Achieving viable increase requires breakthrough, and breakthrough requires the breaker, God himself. Do you know that one of the titles of God is God the Breaker? Turn with me back in the Old Testament to the little book of Micah, the Old Testament prophet Micah, and let's go to Micah chapter 2, verse 13. The one who breaks open the way, literally the breaker, will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. Now, the prophet Micah, operating 8th century BC in the southern kingdom of Judah, brings a message of hope. The breaker who breaks open. In the historical context, the prophet is referring to the remnant of the flock. For them to be gathered and brought back to their land, they will need a leader. Who is the one to lead them? The breaker. And just as the Lord went before his people in the pillar of fire and the cloud through the wilderness, so three times in verse 13, we're told that he will go before his people to guide them. This breaker can be none other than the Messiah himself. It is he who will clear the way for the people to break out of their enemy cities, passing through as if there were no gates. And the breaker, you'll see, is also referred to as their king and the Lord. All of Israel's blessings will be realized in the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. Parats, God the breaker. And the people break out. The imagery of Old Testament gates communicates very powerfully deep spiritual truths. In Old Testament times, every city was surrounded by a strong wall, and strong gates were constructed within the wall to allow people to enter and exit in a controlled manner. The gates of Israelite walled cities typically had three chambers giving four sets of doors, if you like, and defended spaces between. The city walls and their gates were built to withstand assault, and the walls were often up to a meter thick. Above the main gate was an area where watchmen stood guard, monitoring all the traffic entering and leaving the city. The watchmen could send information down to the gatekeepers. Ancient gates were fortified entryways. The gatekeepers controlled the passage of people. Whatever came in and went out had to go through the gate. And of course, captives would be held in these heavily fortified cities with massive gates. The gates were designed and constructed to be impenetrable. They could not be broken by human power. You needed permission from the ruling authority. And so Micah chapter 2 verse 13 is a prophetic word for a future actual physical deliverance of the southern kingdom of Judah. But as well as that, it has profound spiritual application for us. Because even as Christians, we can be hemmed in, effectively living as prisoners rather than in complete freedom in Christ. This imagery and the title of God the Breaker applies to so many areas of our life, and one area is most certainly our generosity. I'm going to leave Oak Tree in about 2 months' time with many things impressed on my mind. This is a church with generosity in its DNA. Sometimes when we think of generosity, in fact, probably most of the time, we initially think of money, finances. And generosity most certainly includes our giving, and Oak Tree gives very generously. But generosity is far more encompassing than just our financial giving. So I like to think of three T's: time, talents, treasure. And in any one of those areas, we can be less than generous. By time, I'm referring to service in the church, and then there's also service in the wider community. But be careful. We must never put our spouses and families down the pecking order while we're out, quote unquote, winning souls. But in modern, busy Western society, it's worth checking that we are generous with our serving of one another in the church. And similarly, that we are freely and generously using the gifts and skills we've been blessed with for the building up of the church and the extension of the kingdom. So I want you to hear this message as an encouragement to stay the course. Today's message is about pressing on and building on the Oak Tree culture of generosity. A whole of life generosity is something that each of us needs to keep a heart check on. And every church should regularly let the Holy Spirit speak into the community as to how the generosity culture is going. So by way of doing a heart check, let's be sure that there are no closed-fistedness in our lives, individually or us as a community. Closed-fistedness is a state from which a person needs to be broken free. It requires the supernatural power of the breaker. Why? Because closed-fistedness happens when the enemy has captured us by his lies and distractions. God the Breaker needs to come and break down the gates and lead us into the open spaces of lushness and freedom. We could call that a breaker anointing. Let's pause and just think about that. What do we mean by the anointing? I love this definition by a guy called James Maloney. The anointing is the tangible application of the Holy Spirit's power upon a particular bondage, bringing the actual release purchased by Christ's blood. Let me say that again. The anointing is the tangible application of the Holy Spirit's power upon a particular bondage, bringing the actual release purchased by Christ's blood. If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a follower of the Lord Jesus, you are connected to the living God, then anything less than overflowing generosity is a form of captivity. Why do I say that? Because generosity is a dominant characteristic of God himself. If we don't live out overflowing generosity in every part of our lives, it's as if we are holed up in a high-walled city. In touring through Europe, if you have been around there, you'll come across some of these ancient or very old high-walled cities, and they will have gates on them. And you can't, when you're not generous, it's the imagery of not being able to pass out through the gate. And you can't see them when you're inside that city and hold up behind that gate. You can't see the lushness of the open spaces that are outside the gate. You can't see the beauty outside. Spiritually, we're not experiencing, in that case, life as Jesus wants us to. It's as if we're captured in a high-walled city and we fail to see those lush pastures and flowing rivers outside in the field of generosity. So when I think of generosity, I try my mind to visualize a scene of lushness. Generosity is a characteristic of the living God. So what are the things that come against us seeking to hold us captive to this closed-fistedness? Well, in summary terms, and it's always the same, it's the world, the flesh, and Satan. When we don't overflow in generosity, we do see that in the physical realm. But what we see in the physical realm is driven absolutely by spiritual forces, either energizing our fallen flesh and or direct oppression by the enemy. I mean, there will always be factors in every season of life that will pull us away from generosity. So here of a list of short list of what I call closed-fistedness drivers. I mean, obviously, materialism and selfishness. So John talks about the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. If we have a discounted love for, a discounted trust in the Lord God Almighty. Thirdly, a lack of understanding of what God says in the Bible about prosperity. Fourthly, if we've got a spirit of irritability and angst. And fifthly, if we're being impacted by a spirit of self-entitlement. There is a spirit of poverty that operates in the world. How does it manifest? Well, you'll see it operating, trying to stop us from enjoying the Lord. You'll see it in seeking to bring physical harm on us so that we're not healthy. In seeking to isolate us socially so that we don't enjoy close friendships. And seeking to keep people in material poverty. I mean, we might piously declare, oh, come on, I only need enough money to pay the bills. But in fact, that's selfish. Why not desire extra so that we can help someone else? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Friends, poverty doesn't make anyone holy. The enemy seeks to keep as many people in the world as he can in poverty. So let's briefly think about breakthrough and wealth. Watch my terminology, I'm not talking about riches. The word parats occurs in scripture in conjunction with wealth, prosperity, and financial increase. For example, Proverbs 3, verses 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over, literally parats, and your vats will bring over with new wine. Notice that here that breakthrough is linked with giving. A breaking out, a bursting out will occur whenever we honor God with giving according to his word. Honoring the Lord by giving a portion of the increase he has already supplied results in the breakout of additional increase. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. So when we think of wealth, wealth is more than money. Wealth refers to any kind of abundance, anything that proliferates. Wealth can mean an abundance of ideas, of contents, of property or products, a large amount of something. In the same way, prosperity also means more than physical wealth. John, in his third letter, verse 2, says this: Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. To prosper means to succeed in reaching a goal, to succeed in business affairs, to make significant progress, flourishing, thriving, and growing successfully. Prospering can't happen without breakthrough. One of the enemy's very successful strategies is to inflame our flesh, energize our flesh, if you like, in the area of self-entitlement. This is a vulnerability for every believer because we're in a state of transformation and we have to let the Holy Spirit have control in our lives. Romans 8. If we're going to counter the enemy's strategies. When our spirit man is not controlling our soulish life, then watch out for self-entitlement. It'll show up pretty clearly with a lack of thankfulness, and praise God for the thankfulness that was poured out here at Oak Tree last Sunday on our Thanksgiving Sunday. It was really just great to hear in those open sharing times. The spirit of generosity says this: what can I give? The spirit of self-entitlement says, what can I get? Now, in church life, we can hear, I mean, of course, this is not Oak Tree, but we can hear words sometimes like, what can the church give me? Rather than, here are my gifts and talents. These are my instruments of worship to my generous Father. On January the 20th, 1961, 17 words were spoken that have been regarded as the most inspiring in 20th century American history. They were spoken by John F. Kennedy. The occasion was his presidential inauguration, and they came as he was concluding his inaugural address. He had just declared that the torch had been passed to a new generation of Americans born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage, and pledged to pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, in order to assure the survival and success of liberty. And soon after, He spoke the 17 words. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Friends, self-entitlement starts with I, with self. And generosity starts with you, others. So call on the breaker to come. Call on the breaker to come regularly and break down any gates that might have shut you in or shut us in as a church. Because shut gates can creep up on us. That's kind of a mixing of metaphors. The breaker desires to break down gates and have God's children spill out into the lush pasture of genuine, extravagant generosity. Praise God for the generosity that is so evident in this church community. I pray it would continue, that it would grow, that it would overflow, that it would be contagious. Extravagant generosity is actually a declaration of our allegiance and love for Jesus. Paul concludes his chapter on giving in 2 Corinthians 9 with these words, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We give, whether it's time, talents, or treasure, to be a blessing, as a reflection of the one who comes and breaks men and women out of all sorts of bondages." So, let me encourage you to remain sensitive to the Spirit. He might be saying to me, or he might be saying to you at various times, come on, you need to call on the breaker. You're hemmed in. I want to lead you to green, lush pastures. So join with me in prayer. Dear Lord God, you are our maker, provider, and saviour. We affirm that you are generous, exceedingly generous. You are the great I am, who always wants to lead your children to victory, freedom, and vitality. I ask that you would come, Holy Spirit, with a breaker anointing, that you would supernaturally break down any gate of resistance in my life to extravagant generosity. We ask that you would come, Holy Spirit, with a breaker anointing, that you would supernaturally break down any gate of resistance in our life together to extravagant generosity, and that you would lead each of us and lead Oak Tree Church into lush green pastures, that we would be a blessing to all. Father, help each one of us to completely trust you. Father, help each one of us to respond to the word and spirit with loving obedience for the sake of your glorious kingdom. Amen.